If you would turn your Bible to the book of John, chapter 8 tonight, the book of John, chapter number 8. John chapter 8, and I want to read this account that we find here about the woman who was taken in adultery. So let's start in verse number 1. It says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we have the marvelous privilege to gather together tonight in this place. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for this chapter right here and many other things that certainly go with it. I pray that you give us wisdom tonight. I pray for the power of the Spirit of God to move upon our hearts. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We find that they brought her, and they were wanting him to condemn this woman and take her out and stone her. Stoning was a form of capital punishment that a whole town or community would be involved in. It was a horrible death for the perpetrator, as you can well imagine, but was also a fearful reminder to all others of the wages of sin. To view that and to participate in that, I believe would have a great impact on the lives of those who were left. We find from the Word of God that stoning was meant for a number of offenses. We will not rehearse all of those, but let's look at a few of those. When you go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13, we find here that one who diverted another away from the Lord was to be stoned. It says in verse 10, And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And so one who was seeking to take one away from the Lord was to be stoned. We find also that those who would worship other gods were to be stoned. In Deuteronomy 17, lengthy portion, but let me read. It says, If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which is the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in trespassing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped him, either the sun or moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquire diligently, and behold, if it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then thou shalt bring forth that man or that woman which have committed the wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die. So we find one of the things is somebody who would draw another way from the Lord was to be stoned. Somebody who would worship other gods. When the thing was discovered and it was rehearsed to be true, they were to be stoned. We find also a non-virgin woman was to be stoned if she was that at marriage. It tells us in Deuteronomy 22, verse 20, "But this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shall that put away evil from among you." That last phrase gives us real insight as to why God has this. Not only does it put away evil because the one who committed it is gone, but it also scares the fire out of those who might be thinking of it. We find on another occasion a man was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And we find in Numbers chapter 15, verse 36, it says, "And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses." Why? He broke the Sabbath day. Here's an interesting one. When we think about Achan, he stole that which was holy unto the Lord. That which they were, that first battle they were have at Jericho, all of that booty, all the goods, was to be the Lord's. But you know the story. Achan stole from that. And we find it says, "And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them." All Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned him with stones. By the way, it was not just he, it was his family. But we find here that Jesus made a requirement upon those who would stone her. Have you ever wondered what he wrote? Sometimes I've thought that maybe he was writing names of some women whom they had been with. I don't know. But we do know this. He made a requirement, and that is, if they were going to stone him, they must be without sin themselves. In other words, before we make judgments and throw stones, we better do some self-examination. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, the great Sermon on the Mount, we find these words, and they're often used and used improperly. He says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Interesting, as we look here in the New Testament, and we find that the Lord wants us to understand something. We have no right to make judgment until we what? Make self-judgment. It's interesting, we come to the New Testament, other than the text that we have read here in the book of John, all the stoning mentioned were not of evil men. They were not men who had done things wrong according to Old Testament law. They were good men. And matter of fact, what we find is they were men that sought to tell the truth. That's interesting. First time I see this is in the book of Matthew. And it's actually a reference to some of the prophets previously, but it's found in the book of Matthew. And he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Wow. We also find that this refers to men of faith. When you get to the book of Hebrews, you find the great chapter on faith. And we find that many of them, the deliverances that took place, but some of them, there weren't any deliverance. Matter of fact, in verse number 37, it talks about some who were stoned. It says they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Can you believe that? Somebody would saw you in two. Were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And so we find that there were many that he refers to that were good men that they stoned. People who they threw rocks at because they did not like evidently what they had to say. Think about this with the Lord Jesus Christ. We find after one of the greatest promises in the Word of God, something that takes place. I love the verses found in John chapter 10, verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Marvelous to see how sheep will follow after the voice that they hear. And it says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now think about that for a moment. There are those who say you can lose your salvation. Jesus has just said, nobody can take you away from me. Matter of fact, he says, nobody can take you away from the Father. And then he says in verse number 30, I and my Father are one. So we have this promise with a promise that it's a double fist holding on to you and to me. But as we read a little bit farther, we find that it says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They sought to stone him because of his rightful claim to be God. Interesting that we find that good men, and certainly the greatest of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, they sought to stone him. This was not just on this occasion, but there was a couple of other times. And of course, you know the story of Stephen, the first martyr that we find in the book of Acts. He preached the truth to a people that did not want to hear it. And we find that they took him out and they stoned him. Listen to these words in Acts chapter 7. In verse 56 it says, and said, behold, I see the heavens open. This is Stephen talking, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Why were they stoning him? Because he was telling the truth. Listen, today in our society, people want to silence the preacher rather than let God change their life. We see it all the way throughout our nation. And folks want to, as we find in the Old Testament, be preached smooth things. But think about this. Not only do we find that with the Lord Jesus Christ and with Stephen, we also find it with the Apostle Paul. Remember what it says in Acts chapter 14? It says, there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Did anybody preach the truth any greater than Paul? Many folks say he was the greatest Christian that ever lived. I don't know that to be a fact, but that's an opinion of many. What we do know is that he was used of God to start many churches, to do great missionary work throughout the known areas of Asia and parts of Europe. And what do we see? There was a hatred of the truth. That hatred was so acutely large that they traveled many miles They left their city to come to another to accomplish this stoning. Now, there's something we can note about all of these things, and that is nearly always it's religious people who take up stones. That's who takes them up. Let me ask you a few questions. Do we carry stones to throw at those telling the truth? Do we listen to what Jesus said to the accusers of the adulterous woman when he said, "He that was without sin, let him cast the first stone"? Do we realize the marvelous truth of God's stones? I'm going to take you another place in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." The stones that God gives is a whole lot different, is it not? Now I want to ask you a question tonight. What kind of stones do we throw? What kind of stones do we throw? What's involved with them? What are they? I'm not answering this question, I'm asking it. What are those stones? I heard a term, accusations. You got your hand up, or are you just waving it? Okay, very good. Okay. That's a big word. Okay. What are some of the stones? You think of any others? I heard somebody say something. What? Gossip. Okay. Gossip. Did you know that none of us ever participate in gossip? It's always those other people. Have you noticed that? Yeah. By the way, if somebody throws a stone and we catch it to throw it again, that's kind of what we call gossip. Okay? Good answers. What are some other stones that we might throw? Accusations, gossip. What? Lies. Okay. Huh? I didn't hear that. Hatreds. Okay. That's probably why we do it to start with. Okay. Hatreds. Any other thoughts? Pride. Oh my. We think we're right. Yeah. Interesting. You guys preach good sermons. Put downs. Oh, I hate that one. It's so easy for me to do. I just, it happens, and then I'm thinking, stupid idiot. Do you notice something? When you throw stones, it's hard to get them back. They don't heal up real good. Well, they will, but not real well. And sometimes they leave bruises for a long time. And so I think we ought to stop and consider. Do we throw stones? Judgmental stones that hurt other folks. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your tremendous word. Thank you for this particular topic and how we can apply it to our lives. Lord, we are so prone to be a people like those Pharisees, to pick up stones to throw at others. We see problems in their lives but don't see our own. And so often we don't stop and realize we need to self-examine our own lives. I pray, oh God, you might bless in each heart. Help us to learn from this, to gain from it, to go forth with an enthusiasm, to be the best we can to other folks. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.